Hello and welcome back to another preview episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I'm one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison. Walker Lott joins me from College Station, Texas. Ryan Schroeder is back on the program. We rehired him after some unsuitable comments about the Republic of Botswana. Ryan, you know, personally, I have no problem with it. However, it's bad for the brand, but we gave you some mandatory training to complete. You're back on. I appreciate you learning from this experience.
I think the problem is like people are trying to hold me down in this company. The HR staff that we hire them. Like, I don't understand why that's now my problem. Like, I should be above that. I mean, so clearly this is only for the new student analysts, not for us. I don't understand why this is. Yeah, no, I don't get it. But you know what? Take my 1 week suspension, move on. Who cares? Like, you know, it's just how it works. So
we have to maintain some semblance of character among the three of us. It's part of it. Walker Lott, how are you doing? How's the previous week been? Et cetera, et cetera.
It's going good. You know, I'm trying to figure out my schedule for the weekend. It's going to be a fun time. A lot of good games. I was going to say the U.S. Was winning. U.S. soccer was winning their game, but they were being dumb and they just let New Zealand out of all teams score. But Pochettino is officially hired as our new head coach. And that's great news for us, for all the people who care about soccer, which is maybe 5% of y'all. But it's a very good day for U.S. soccer.
I'm glad you called it soccer and not football. That makes me happy.
Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't I?
So that being said, as I mentioned previously, this is a preview episode. We will get to our five games of the week momentarily. But before that, I do have to circle back to something. Walker Lott, you had some homework. Do you have three Bob Dylan songs? If not, that's fine. I have another thing I can move straight into.
Yeah. Can we do another album or something like
that? Oh, absolutely. One that is right by my leg. So this is much easier. This record is one that's probably my favorite of all time. It's a box record. It's Swimming in Circles by the late, great Malcolm McCormick, AKA Mac Miller, probably my favorite artist of all time. So I'm going to ask Walker if you can name me five Mac Miller songs for a free lunch the next time I see you.
You see, Mac Miller, I never grew up with Mac Miller. So we're going to see how this goes. I know The Spins. I love that song. Great, great song.
Good song.
Man.
Can I give one? Can I give one?
You can, yes. Give him one.
Yeah, please.
This is going to help to the total, but this was my senior year recap video of my senior year. The song I used for it was Blue World. I love Blue World. Love that song. So
one of my favorite, and that's off of Circles, probably my favorite album of all time.
There you go. I'm trying to think what else. I probably could anything help.
Off of the Divine Feminine.
Brother, I don't even know what that is. I'm not gonna lie to you. Did he sing the Donald Trump song? Was that a song?
He did. That's two. Donald Trump is a song he made. There's another song off that record that's pretty big.
Oh man, knock knock.
That's three.
Oh gosh, I think that is where it is. I don't know many others.
No, you got one more. Come on, it's the other one that's all the way up there. I just saw.
I don't know Mac Miller. You see, this is why we grew up differently, but this is why we share music. I promise you, I probably don't know any other Mac Miller songs.
I looked it up. But I mean, it's clearly one of the Self-Care, right? Is like a massive song, right? That's like Self-Care with The Spins, it's like his most massive song, right?
The music video to that song is probably his favorite music video he's put out. Faces is probably, I think I might like Faces more than I'm really having a Patrick Bateman.
I've heard Self-Care. Right. I've heard Self-Care.
Self-Care. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we will continue to do this little Walker will still continue to get shots at a free lunch, probably at George's in Waco as we continue the weeks. This is just something we did this in 2021 a few times when I had my record collection set back up, and now it's back and I will keep pulling records. I promise it won't be as hard as a Bob Dylan one next time, but it won't be as easy as Joji. If it's Joji, it's going to have to be five songs off of like In Tongues. You're going to have to like name me the entire track list.
Yes, absolutely. Some of them are a little vulgar. We can't say some of those songs.
But that is a good point. The vulgar one actually is probably my favorite song on the record.
Absolutely.
Anyways, Moving on, everyone probably skipped that portion of the episode anyways, but moving on, we will now get into our five games of the week, probably the favorite segment that we do every year. And what else better to start with than Antonian at Regents? Both teams are 1-1. Regents is a 26.5 point favorite in this game. This Friday, Antonian will travel to New California to take on Austin Regents. Antonian is coming off of a 35-14 win over Navarro in week 2. Senior running back Mikey Moreno will attempt to lead the Apaches to victory behind the efforts of Chris White II, Drake Carr, and Luca Salvatore. Sophomore quarterback Rogan Parson will only develop further as the season progresses, and he will have 6'2 senior wide receiver Isaiah Fox to bomb it to. The question will be, can the Apache defense hold up against a traditionally elite Regents passing attack? Although faltering to Kincaid the previous week, Regents took it to Lorena week 1 with Jack Devine tossing 7 touchdowns through the air. The connection from him to Blake Smith should be lethal, and with Sam Pope to carry the rock and Graham Reinches cleaning up on defense, I like Regents to take this game. Antonian seems to have taken a half step back from last year. They still have plenty of talented athletes. They just don't have a Jace Toscano and Raleigh Stroh, which were huge, huge pieces of that squad. Regents has a lot of pieces that I like, although faltering like I mentioned to Kincaid last week, I'm not going to take that. It's too big of a sign. Don't overthink it. Regents in this one. Walker Lot.
Yeah, I'm going to go Regents as well. I think this is going to be a good matchup against good teams. They always compete. I will be at this game in Austin. I haven't been to a home game ever for Austin Regents, so this will be a fun one for me. But I think after the week 1 loss to Holy Cross, I've not been as high on Antonian. I still think they're gonna be a good squad, but I think that loss kind of shared a lot of, hey, they lost a lot, they're gonna have to recover a little bit. And this is going to be a good test again, because I think Regents is a better team than Holy Cross. So, you know, A plus B equals C in this kind of scenario. Give me Regents in this one.
Ryan Schroeder.
Yeah, I think I'm right there as well. I do think Regents is probably the better team over Antonian currently. I also am kind of losing it on the south side of D1 with some of the – I mean, like – feels like they're all falling in different capacities, right? Or no, they're not all falling yet, but you know, when the best team in San Antonio could potentially be Holy Cross, and we'll find that out this weekend, I guess, right? You know, with the Holy Bowl, like, I guess in my opinion, it's like truly the south of D1 is falling from what I can tell so far. And at that point, with the firepower that Regents has so far from what they've just showed, and obviously the loss to Kincaid that I saw coming as well was not great, but I don't think that sets them far apart, because I think Kincaid's a favorite for SBC 4A. So in my head, yeah, I agree with Walker here. I'm going to go Regents as well.
Yet another game we are all three on the same side of, which scares me immensely, but nonetheless, we will be watching that game closely this Friday night. Walker more closely than anyone. Moving on to a Houston-on-Houston matchup, Kincaid will travel to St. Thomas, where Kincaid, the Falcons, are a 12.5-point favorite. And in yet another interconference matchup, Kincaid will take the short bus ride to St. Thomas to try and best yet another TAP squad. Kincaid has had an impressive start to the year. The Falcons gave 3A state champions Gunter a game in week 1 and stifled an elite Regents offense the previous week. Sophomore running back Wayne Shanks is the real deal. We raved about him in the offseason based off of freshman film, and he has come out firing in his sophomore campaign, and he was a key reason why Kincaid beat Regents last week. David Capobianco is also impressing in his senior campaign, and with weapons like Jordan Manuel on the outside, he has plenty of firepower at his disposal. But the strength of this Falcons team is in their defense. The matchup of Stanley, Wynn, and Johnson going up against talented offensive linemen and Anthony Pellerin and Jake Ghislaine will prove the winner in this game. I like Roy Thomas Jenkins and the St. Thomas team a lot. I just think Kincaid is too gritty in the spot to lose. Again, I've bet against Kincaid in certain spots. I've been wrong in most of those spots. I know I bet them to beat Gunner week 1 and was wrong there, but honestly, it's a good showing. It's a better showing coming out and whacking regions last week. It tells you how stout this Kincaid defense is, and regardless of the athletes they possess, which are all still very good, you put a lot of faith in that scheme. I think they're going to have the edge over St. Thomas here, especially in a year that we know less about St. Thomas than we have in previous years. We know Roy Thomas Jenkins is obviously the real deal, and a bunch of colleges know that as well. It's just they're on shaky ground, I feel. I'll probably get clipped at some point for saying this, but I do like Kincaid to come out and win this matchup. Walker, do you feel the same?
I do feel the same. I think Kincaid gets in this one. I don't know what the state of this St. Thomas team is this year. I think they have some guys. They're able to put up points, but for the past 2 weeks, they really haven't. And so I think it's a very, you know, when you lose a talented senior class like they did last year, it's a rebuilding year for any team. Do I think it's a rebuilding year like most teams where they lose all their games and it's a rough time? No. But I do think it's a time for them to, like, try to find their identity again. And I just don't think they find it in this one. I think Kincaid's a very Kincaid's always the team that is very disciplined, knows who they are, and gets after it. And I think this is a little bit too much. I think for the first time in a while, St. Thomas starts 0-3 in the season, and it's going to be interesting to watch. I think also not having Anthony Pellerin, who is not playing football this year, is a huge loss for St. Thomas. So I think in a lot of those things, it's a very interesting team. Excited to see how this team turns out, but I'm going to get Kincaid in this one.
Definitely so. I did forget to mention in my script, I had Anthony Pellerin in here, but he is not playing football this year. An interesting development, one that certainly will hurt the Eagles. Ryan Schroeder, your thoughts on the contest?
I think I have to go back to the fact of where I said, even in this last one, that the south of D1 is truly not what I thought it really was going to be this year. I mean, the stack north of D1 is clearly probably the best district in all of TXPS. One of the best we've seen in a while, obviously, with Legacy Christian joining. I'm just kidding. But they do add value. I'm kind of laughing at the fact that district just only got better with Liberty and Legacy. But truly, the south-wise is not living up to what I thought it would be. With that being said, we kind of have the comparison SBC team to how I see Kincaid with St. John's when St. John's played Houston St. Thomas week one. St. John's went out there and killed them 34-7. I mean, that's pretty crazy. Like Walker said, only 17 points of offense through two games for St. Thomas. Very unlike a team that felt like was running through teams the past few years at this point. Last week, I was the sole person, I think, to pick Kincaid. I think both y'all picked Regents. I picked Kincaid, and I'm there again. I'm going to pick Kincaid again. I think they're the more talented team here, and I think they're going to be set up for a pretty good season, as well as the fact that, you know, that Gunter loss truly will just show the fact that how good Gunter is as a public school team. And, you know, and obviously, let me say this too. The 41-10 Lake Creek loss is obviously super tough, but that's a 5A UIL team too. So going both ways, booking public school teams is for the better. I just think that Kincaid is overall just a better team in general.
Absolutely. For all of our football sickos out there that just obsess over football at all levels, a game to watch in the public school ranks. Speaking of Gunter plays Salina this Friday night. Salina being one of the most storied programs in the entire state. I'm not just saying that because that's my father's alma mater. Salina is ranked number four in 4AD1, and Gunter's obviously number one in 3AD2. So that will be a fun one to watch. I grew up going to a bunch of Salina state championship games. Several they lost to, you know, Gilmer and Carthage, but, you know, that's how it goes. But moving on, we will move to a game that I will actually be at covering. Second Baptist at the Episcopal School of Dallas. ESD is an 8.5-point favorite. Interesting. Moving back to two teams we are already familiar with on the year, Second will take the long bus ride to the Metroplex to do battle with Jake Jerky and the Eagles of Episcopal. Second just had a monster win over Fort Worth Christian, who came into the year with a ton of hype. Cannon Toon, Bryce Butler, and RJ Lee are the truth, and they will have to prove it against this Eagles team that has rebounded nicely with a blowout win over SBC 3A champions Trinity Valley last week. All in all, I think Second Baptist are title contenders in the South, and they're going to need a dominant effort here to cement that. And I'll keep it short and sweet. I think that they get it. Fly, Eagles, fly. Well, the Second Baptist Eagles, not ESD, but you get the point. Walker.
I'm going to go Second Baptist as well. After watching them in this last week, it's just they're playing as such a unit, and if they can play like they did last week, there's going to be very few teams in the state that can beat them. I'm very excited for this team. I think Cannon Toon extends how well he played last week. The receivers are good. The DBs are great. Offensive line's impressive. Defensive line's impressive. This team is really, really good. One of the best linebacking cores in Cash Harris and Bryce Butler. I think they're really good this year, man. And I do think this is going to be a better test for them than Fort Worth Christian. That offense for ESD is no slouch, and Jerky will throw it all over the field. Benaglia and others. What's your boy over there, Siler Cook?
Cook.
Yeah, I think this is a good offense to test them. Especially, this is a great test for Second Baptist, knock on wood, if they do make it to Waco, and a team like, knock on wood, All Saints makes it, a guy like Dario Benaglia, who's 6'5", and can go up and get it against, that's going to be a good test for these DBs against a team like All Saints, who has the 2 6'5" wide receivers. So this is a good test for them to see how this is going to be, how they're going to play, hopefully, if they make it to Waco. Yeah, but I'm excited for this one. This is going to be a good one. Yeah, Ryan, over to you, man. What are you thinking?
So it's funny because we were just talking about two of the other SBC 4A teams competing for this title. Probably the two teams I actually think are going to compete for the title, but ESD's always been in that same conversation for years now at this point. And it's hard not to put them in that same conversation when year after year, they're still playing top level teams and all that kind of stuff. But Second Baptist is no joke. I mean, the clips that we saw of Cannon Toon, you know, from what we saw from Walker on site, from the rest of the guys there, I mean, that team is absolutely incredible. I think Second Baptist truly showed that where they're at from that perspective. But with that being said, you know, you talk about how for Second Baptist, ESD is the test to see truly where they are because Fourth Christian's not that. I flip the script the opposite direction. I say, Second Baptist, if for ESD, like you have to win against Second Baptist. If you're expecting to beat a Kincaid team that's competing at this high of a level, you're expecting to beat a St. John's team that's competing at this high of a level, this needs to be the test for ESD, especially when the next three games are All Saints, Episcopal, and Kincaid. Like, it's truly going to be a gauntlet for them. And with that being said, I have Second Baptist in this game, but for ESD, they have to win this game because it only gets harder. And I like the tough challenges before district, but SBC 4A is tough this year. And I also just am really high on Second Baptist. I think Second Baptist this year is, yeah, we'll see Fort Worth All Saints in some capacity in Waco or whoever that may be in the semifinals or whatever. I don't know how the whole structure is. I think it switches up, but I agree. I think Second Baptist is truly like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, they proved it last week, as I mentioned, again, Fort Worth Christian might not be as good as we thought they were, but they've got dudes, Tucker Ashford alone, and then you've got, you know, Gigliotta and then Crop Holler and everyone else. You know, you're not a bunch of scrubs if you go out and beat a team with that much talent by that much. I like them in this spot a lot. Yeah, and I'm going to see firsthand on Friday night. I like ESD a lot. Don't get it twisted. It's just Second is always a title contender, more or less. You know, they had, I think, 14, maybe 11 or 12 straight district titles. Shout out Coach Terry Pirtle. But yeah, I think they're going to continue that this year. And we will see on Friday night. Moving on to the penultimate game that we're going to cover, St. Pius at Houston Christian. Houston Christian is a 16.5-point favorite. In what feels like our 45th Taps versus SBC matchup this episode, at St. Pius will take a short drive east to take on SBC runners-up Houston Christian. Houston Christian has been bested by two solid squads in Lutheran South and St. John's to begin the year and will hope to get on the right track here against the Panthers. The Stangs return talent at the skill positions in Greg Gurdy, Bennett Malloroy, and standout wide receiver Anderson Jones. Quarterback Ron Reese will have plenty of weapons at his disposal, while Joseph Trickett and Mac Barrow will need to bring pressure in order to make St. Pius uncomfortable. Speaking of St. Pius, the Panthers were dominated in week one by a much improved TWCA squad, but bounced back and beat Kelly Catholic by a touchdown last week. Although the Mustangs have had a slow start, I think that they do have the edge in this one. You don't realize how solid Jones, Gurdy, and Mallory are until you see them in person. And if Reese can just get them the ball, I think Houston Christian should take this one over, and they have to in order to stay competitive, moving towards a tough SBC 3A schedule with some much improved teams than we thought moving into the year. Walker Lott, what are your thoughts concerning this game?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good one. I'm going to go with Houston Christian in this one. I think this is going to be a good matchup, but I really like Kay Gulledge, the running back over there. He's fast. He's physical. He's going to be one of the best running backs in TXPS this year. He's going to be the real deal, and I think they rely on him and the other guys that have transferred in, but I think this is a good one. Like I said earlier, St. Pius is a young team. They're going to be good. They're just not there yet, and I think this is going to be a hard task for them. I think it's going to be a 1-2 score game in this one, but I'm gonna ride with the Mustangs in this one. It's gonna be a fun one, but give me the Mustangs. Wes, over
Pony
to you.
Up.
Oh no,
over to Ryan.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, oh, we've done 100 episodes, and
this is episode 101.
We forgot to do it again. I was gonna get like a party hat and some balloon. We'll do it for 102. We'll do it for 102.
102.
I'm gonna be honest. I think LSA and St. John's are both like really, really strong opponents, in my opinion. And I think with that, I mean, you know, stay two touchdowns between both teams. Honestly, I think is technically 17 points isn't two touchdowns. That would be three touchdowns by mathematically speaking,
right?
Or three scores. But I still think that, you know, in the Houston Christian vein, you're on the road, two games. Still being putting up points versus a St. Pius team, who, in my opinion, you know, I mean, like I said, to the detriment of the south side of D1, like I've said this entire time, I think they're all on the decline, and I don't think a Kelly Catholic win really convinces me. So give me Houston Christian here, and I think Houston Christian gets the first one of the year and then tries to make something happen in SBC 3A this year.
Definitely so, and they will need to have an impressive showing to move into that. So, with that being said, we will move into our final matchup of the episode, Central Catholic at Holy Cross, where Central Catholic is a 14.5 point favorite. Oh, this Saturday, two San Antonio Catholic schools will travel to Harlandale Memorial Stadium to take place in a contest that has come to be known as the Holy Bowl. This contest will feature two electric offenses, Holy Cross averaging 48 points per game and Central averaging 55. Holy Cross is allowing 10.5 points per game while Central is giving up 9.5. Central will have a variety of guys run the ball with six recording touchdowns on the ground in their win against Southside, with standouts including Xavier Rulis, Jeremy Birch, and Joseph Carrion. Senior quarterback Garrett Tyser has been efficient thus far on the season, throwing for 5 touchdowns, although tossing a couple interceptions in his last contest. The defense is led by Joseph Carrion, Samuel Redman, and Jacob Estes, which has been fantastic thus far. However, they will be tested by Gibby Alvarado, Louis Lopez, and Nick Hall. Both of these teams have shown balanced attacks up to this point, and the defenses have feasted upon inferior opponents. The question is this: can Holy Cross's front seven stop Central's ground attack? And can the Buttons contain Alvarado through the air and Lopez on the ground? I can't tell you one way or the other, but it seems like a special season brewing at Holy Cross. And for that reason, I'm going to take the Knights. Listen, at this point, I don't think I can bet against Holy Cross. I think this is about as even can get. You know, it's a TAPS D1 squad against a TAPS Division 3 squad. But Holy Cross ain't playing like a D3 squad right now. I think they have, more so this season than any in the past, maybe in the future, an opportunity to go out and beat a plethora of bigger, possibly better schools. And I'd love to see them do it here against Central. Give me Holy Cross in the Holy Bowl. Walker Lott.
Man, I'm really trying to go through who I'm going to pick in this one. I really have no idea. You know, the logical pick would be the D1 team in Central Catholic. But like you kind of said, it's a special year for Holy Cross, and they just beat Antonia Prep, who is a Division One team, so they're no slouch either. This is going to be a fun one. This game got moved from Thursday to Saturday because of the attention of this one. That we're in for a treat. I'm so excited to be there. When this was put on the map months ago, I told Wes and Ryan, I'm going to be there no matter what. And here it is. It's this week. I'm so excited. First, we want to shout out anyone from San Antonio to give me recommendations for where to eat on that day, because that is really why I'm going to San Antonio, is for the good eats and also some great high school football. But I know I'm not rambling because I have no idea who to pick. And now for my pick, I'm going to go. What fan base do I hate? They hate me now. That's really where this is going to go. I'm going to go Central Catholic. I'm going to go the better team just out of division wise. I think this is a good team. We really like Garrett Tyser. I'm going to say they get it done here. I really like this team. And you know what? That gives Holy Cross a little bit of motivation despite me. But I really don't know, man. You know, at the end of the day, who can run the ball? And Central Catholic has been really good at running the ball. And yeah, their defense has been great against them. Two really good opponents. Give me Central in this one. Ryan, over to you, man. What side are we favoring with?
I'll say quickly, the better team. I really hope Gibby Lopez and Nick Hall heard that and can let that marinate for a couple days before the game. Just the better team.
I meant better team because of the...
No. The better team. Ryan Schroeder, before Walker can defend himself, your thoughts on the Holy Bowl.
I don't know if you've been listening to me for the past, call it the last like two episodes, recaps, previews, everything. You know I'm a Holy Cross fan, all right? Everyone knows kind of that I'm a Holy Cross stan at this point this year. I'll give it to you straight. Our student analyst, Jacob, who's been down there, has been giving us some great insight. And one thing he did say is, hey, well, you know what Gibby did? Gibby went out there and is proven the dual threat aspect, the fact that he's throwing for 150 yards and rushing for 140, doing it on the ground and through the air. And with that same vein, you have rushing attacks with Louis Lopez, Nicholas Hall, who I'm a huge fan of on the wide receiver side. I love this Holy Cross team. I think this Holy Cross team is actually going to give DC some worries this year in D3. You know, I'm a huge Holy Cross fan. To a point. I think the problem that comes in my head is the fact that Central Catholic is not only beating teams, they're beating UIL 5A teams and almost shutting them out. These are teams that they're winning by, I'm going to look at it again, 40, 50 points. I mean, I got to go scroll back to it now at this point, but I mean, this is close to a 30-point win over Gonzalez, a 62-point win over Southside, multiple UIL top-level teams. The defense is probably exactly where it needs to be. And on top of that, they're going to be bigger dudes. I'm sorry. They're going to have more depth. They're going to be bigger dudes. This is a bigger school. This is clearly a bigger school. When we were talking to Coach Harrison back at TAPSCon, they said there's people have talked to Coach Harrison, and they talked to they've talked to Coach Mangold about this specific game. It has been this specific game that both of them have wanted to know. They don't care about the rest of the season. It's this one specific game. We got told that. Me and Walker got told that this game is the only one that matters. I'm telling you right now, if Central Catholic is going to have the season where they're the number one team in the South, it's right now, because truly this is the two top teams in San Antonio. I'm a 1,000% a Holy Cross fan. How is it not Central Catholic?
I have never loved a pick more than I love this one right now.
Do you see this guy? I'm pointing over there because in the video, you will be there. Do you see what this guy is saying? This is making me so worried about my pick now, because that was so logical that I don't trust it. I don't trust it.
We I threw agree. Logic out the window a long time ago on this program. We pick solely off of vibes.
I literally thought I would, but it's like, I don't know, man. Like, Also, I want Holy Cross to win everything. I want them to go undefeated. So whatever I could throw at them to what's it
no,
called?
No,
to...
don't hedge. Don't hedge.
What,
both
what,
of you,
what,
both
what,
of you
what,
said
what,
Central is the better team. They're gonna go out and win on Saturday. Like that clip of me at First Baptist after the game. You gotta face the music, right or wrong. By the way, that was a heck of a video. Don't want to derail the conversation.
Face the music, you dapped up the guys that got put in a hype video.
I did. I'm facing
nothing.
The music.
You're like,
I do no. Okay, listen
I
to me.
Guess you're good
I
at
said
football.
I doubled down four times in that take and said verbatim, I'm not picking Grace because they're named Grace. I'm picking Grace because I think they're a better team than First Baptist.
And I walked
into the fire and the flames following that game. And, you know, they received me well, which was nice. But also I had to face the music, and I faced the music.
Yeah, I don't think there was any fire or flames. They seemed really happy to have you, if I'm being completely honest. I think Coach Warren has a community over there that is very welcoming. I don't think they're very scrappy at you. They're just like happy to see you. But
I'm
laughing at the fact it's just, yeah, I mean, I love that. I love moments like that. You know, Walker, you know, just to recap, you know, finally hit at the end here. Wes with that, Walker obviously getting clips. We had clips used on news. What channel was that?
ABC 13.
Channel 13, ABC. I mean, I just super thankful to everyone that's been supporting for, you know, this is our fifth season. This has been awesome. And I think it's awesome that we know are able to build a community like this, because truly, truly, sometimes you realize the impact of what you say on this podcast actually, you know, makes people feel and realize that, hey, you know, like, what's it called? Like, they're truly supporting private school athletics. And not to get on a soapbox or anything, but I'm glad that the fan base is so strong. It makes this a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I know I've said it a million times, but I forget oftentimes that people actually listen to what we put out here, that we're not just three guys shooting the stuff because we love private school athletics, which is, by the way, what we do for like half an hour before we start every episode, before we start even recording. But I think it's incredibly beautiful that we have a thing that we basically built into ESPN for private school sports. It's what we've all dreamed of this becoming. It's what I never would have dreamed it becoming when I started an East Texas private school podcast back in 2019, which feels like the Bronze Age at this point. But all I have to say is we're so incredibly thankful for everyone that listens and supports us. It's allowed us to build this into exactly what we thought it could become, and we're only going to continue making it bigger. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, since we already kind of meandered into our closing comments, Walker Lott, any closing comments, concerns, general rage?
No, I'm excited for this week to kind of go back on what you were saying. Gosh, I kind of look back at remembering like that first episode and looking back at like, we had no idea what we want, like thought this could be, but we had an idea of being like, hey, this could be something. And, it was kind of special then, and we were kind of just put together to do it probably a couple episodes and then end it. And we were like, this could be something special. And 5 years later, we've now turned it into something special. And I remember looking back at all the memories and all the hard work we put in, all the events we've now put on. And we're like, hey, like it's paid off, and it's really, really happy, exciting. And couldn't be more grateful. Yeah, overall on this week, man, it's an interesting slate. It's definitely the slate of games that like, there's a lot of public versus private school matchups this week of like teams that are for homecomings and all of this. But this is going to be a fun week. We have some really good games on the slate, and excited for it.
Absolutely. Cannot be more excited for this coming slate. Walker will be at two games. I'll be at one. Ryan will be in the control room pumping out content as always. By the way, Walker Lott is a preview for next week. I've already got the album picked out that I'm going to do. You could say this man sometimes seems a little bit lost, so just take that as a bit of a teaser. But that being said, as always, I have been one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison. Ryan Schroeder and Walker Lott have fantastically been themselves. We will see you in the week 3 recap episode. See you later.